Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to episode number 4. This is number 2 in the 2-part series of D-Day. So, delivery day, this is going to be right after our child came out. The doctor put it right on your chest. I'm pretty sure he's like, "It's a girl." So, anyway, that's where we had stopped on the last one. That's where we're going to pick right up here. And so, yeah, it's a girl. So what was your first initial reaction? Because, I mean, it happened so fast when he literally took her out, put her up on your chest, and immediately he went to work, right? And we didn't really pay attention a whole lot. But what was your first initial reactions of him just throwing her right up there?
I think you're completely spot on. It just happened so fast. I can remember him saying, "It's a girl," and then putting her on my chest and then, you know, "Do you have a name for her?" And then like the nurses come. The nurse comes and they give me some time with her and on my chest, because that was another question they had asked. I forgot in the previous episode. When we had just got into the hospital, got to our room, they had asked, you know, "Do you want the skin to skin? Do you want other questions that I had answered to?" So,
yeah, they asked us about, they call it a golden hour.
Yes, which is that first hour after the baby is born and spending as much skin to skin contact with mom, both mom and dad. So I had agreed to that. So that's when he had put her on my chest. And, you know, look, if you haven't had your own kid, you look at what was just slopped up on your chest and be like, "Oh my gosh, this is so gross. You're touching this," you know, with the vernix, with the blood, with all the fluids, and you don't care. You don't have a single care in the world. You're holding your baby, you're kissing your baby, you're touching her face and looking at her, and it's just so surreal. Like, there's not a care in the world. And then another thing that you're wanting for is cry. I want to hear you cry. And she did. She did just that. She had, even one of the nurses had said she had a good pair of lungs on her.
Yeah, she had cried. And then, she cried when he pulled her out. He put her up on you. And they wanted to get the little angle foot sensor. Mm-hmm. I think that's all they did, was put that up there so they could see, you know, her oxygen level, her pulse. But he threw her up on you. They got that on there. And I remember the lady did have to come back once or twice. She was rubbing her back just to get her, trying to get her lungs, making sure that they are clear. Yep. But just to get them opened up. But other than that, that was kind of it as far as doing anything with her or us, for the most part. Now, when you look at the doctor, you see him down there. He's going to work. He had the old needle in the thread out, and he was going to work.
Yeah, that was another one of my fears. Is I did not want to tear, and I did, and it's okay. But yeah, when I saw him, I was like, "Crap, I tore." And it's fine, you know, you can't feel anything, and he's doing his job and the nurse is doing their job. And it's just a crazy thing with just the doctors. His role was to deliver my baby, to have my prenatal care and deliver the baby. And he did his job, and then the other nurses like do their job, and then the pediatricians come. Like, it's just crazy how everyone has their own job and they're all taking care of you. So they hooked Carly up to whatever they needed to make sure that she's doing okay. But yeah, like you said, they just kind of left us alone for a little bit. And I remember it looking at you, and then I had to look away because I knew that you were about to cry and I was about to cry, and I just didn't want to have a big, you know, ordeal. And just looking at her and just thinking, oh my gosh, she's ours and she's here and she's beautiful and she's healthy, and just thanking God for the blessing that he gave our family.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, I guess what my connection was, you know, we had the 3D sonograms, and we never really got a super clear picture of her face. We got a good half of her face. I think like the left side or the right side, whichever side it was, but we got half of her face. And I just remember me looking at her face, thinking about the sonogram picture. And I'm like, you know, I'm just thinking like, man, you like, she already had changed so much then, just from one picture to the other. I'll never forget when the doctor got you all stitched up and he's like, you know, are you guys good to go? Do you need anything else from me? If not, I'll let you be. And we're like, no, we're good. I mean, when he got done stitching you up, he's like, ah, man, that'll make a plastic surgeon smile.
That just goes to show the doctor he is. Like, I can't even explain it.
He's very funny, very professional, he loves what he does, and you can tell it. And he knows for the business that he's in, there's a lot of nervous people, there's a lot of unknown, especially new parents or going to be parents, you know, there's a lot of pressure there and responsibility. And he's just like, if I could just slice through some of that with a hot knife and butter, I'll do it for him. And I think that was just part of it, was just it make you laugh even, which, and at that point things weren't really tense. They were more, what would I say? Kind of weird. I mean, I guess that would be probably my first 2 hours of being, you know, dad with a kid outside in the world. It was weird. It was just kind of weird. I guess that's the only way I could think of it, is that thing's mine. We have to take care of it. It's our responsibility. You know, it's just, it's different. And you know, like, there's a sensation comes over and you know, it's different from now on. It's totally different from now. It won't ever be the same again.
And like you said in a previous episode, the man you were before and then after she was born, two completely different people.
Oh yeah. 100%. You know, this is a little further on, but we can get out of the way. But, you know, I'm not really a crier. I don't like crying in front of people. I don't know why. It's just me. Jordan's like, well, you can cry, no big deal. And I know I can, but it's not me. It's not something that I wish to do. And I had some tears. I don't think there was ever a drop of tear, but eyes watered up for sure. Just cause emotions were high then. Never really had a real big emotion, probably until we actually got home. Then I think that was when that big transition happened of, you know, whatever I was before, I was a little more, I guess, cold hearted, it seemed like. And then boom, now you're a warm hearted dad. I think that's when that transition was about. It was that next day when we came home, for sure.
Mine was definitely as she was laid on my chest, because the baby you've been carrying for 9 months is in your arms, and the moment you've been waiting for is here. And I wish to go back and just, I know we soaked it up, but I just want to soak it up again. Just, you love her so much, and just that time with her, and just knowing that, like, the whole world stopped, it felt like, for her.
And it's one shot too. You know, you don't really get it back either. I mean, it's just, it's there. Soak it in, be sober about it, you know, make it what you want. And, you know, cause it's all that you're going to get, at that point in time. But, you know, so once the doc kind of got you stitched up and on, he ended up leaving. What was one of the first things that that you had to do, Jordan, after delivery that you love so much?
The dreaded uterus massage. And I will say, one of my close friends did warn me about this. So if you don't know about the uterus massage, this is me warning you. It was incredibly painful. And when you go from having an epidural and feeling not an ounce of pain in delivery, and then all of a sudden they turn off that epidural and they are pushing and massaging on your uterus, it is like period cramps on steroids. It is enough to, you know, you don't want to make any sounds of pain because you don't want to show that. And they all know it. They're like, oh my gosh, I know. I'm so sorry. I have to do it. But I can't, the whole purpose is to just check the.
Well, it's just, it's.
Making
it
sure helps. The uterus is shrinking.
Yes.
The uterus obviously expands drastically in the 9 months, and then it just helps it contract, and it is painful. So we had that. Then we had the dumb blood pressure cuff still going. but you know what? Other than that, like you can tune that stuff out because you're just enjoying that time as a family. Like, holy cow, I'm a mom. And having that skin to skin contact with her. And then I did make Corey wear a button down shirt. I said, you are going to have skin to skin contact with her. And I'm sure he's like, oh, I don't need to do that. And I'm like, yes, you do. So dads, yes, you do. It doesn't need to be super long, but you need to have that bonding time with your child too.
I think I was, you know, for the most part, I'm fairly clean, you know. I mean, I'm just like, oh, why can't I just hold her with a shirt on? You know, I mean, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. You held her for a little while and then you're like, oh, do you want to hold her? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, yes, no, you know, and I'll never forget. It goes back to one of our first episodes, me not being around kids a whole lot or being around babies a whole lot. First thing you think of is, I don't want to break it. I don't want to hurt it. I don't want to, you know, stretch it in the wrong way, et cetera. And, you know, you see all the moms and the dads just pick them up and, you know, it's like, oh man, you know, it just don't break it. It's like a little egg. You can't crack that shell. And I just remember having to pick it up, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, like a man, you know, you just got to pick her up like a man and you hold her, instead of just being real delicate, you're like, all right, this is my baby. I got to get used to doing this and let's go. You know, it starts here, starts now. I'll never forget that piece of it, but I had her on me, not super long, 10 minutes max, very max. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this, Jordan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of done with it. So,
well, you weren't sitting because she was still hooked up to things. Mm-hmm. So you had to be standing there.
I was on one of the stools, the rolling stools.
I still look back at the pictures of you, the very first picture. I mean, you're so proud. You're so excited, but it just looks really awkward. Oh, yeah. You know?
Well, it's back to trying to figure out how to hold her. And she was pretty quiet. I mean, she was very quiet kid coming out. Had a few screams right. And then other than that, she was just there. So
I think after you held her, did they have her breastfeed or did they do all her tests first? I think they had her breastfeed.
I think they tried. I think the delivery nurse came to you or something and asked what you were going to do. And you said, well, I want to try. And so then you two were kind of walking through that. And I was just in the background. I was just, I don't know. I was just there.
You were supporting.
Yeah, I was just there silently waiting. You know, she was showing you how to do those things. And I'm like.
Yeah, like we had said earlier, I didn't take any childbirth classes. I didn't take any breastfeeding classes. I knew that I wanted to try breastfeeding. I am not judging anyone on anything. You need to feed your baby. So however you feed your baby is what's best for you and your baby. I wanted to try breastfeeding, and I knew that if it didn't work out or something, that formula is okay. But I wanted to at least give it a shot. So again, I don't know how to do anything. First time mom, I don't know how this works. And the nurse was so helpful from just helping you deliver your baby, and now she's helping you breastfeed. It was wonderful to have that support there. And she did latch, and she did really well for quite a while. And I don't know what all went down, because it happens so fast and you're trying to soak it all up. But she had nursed for a while, and then they had taken her to do all of her little checks. And you were pretty present on those. I remember you taking pictures, and I couldn't see as well.
Yeah, the nurse and I, we went over there. They have this big old heat lamp, basically. And what's the
Vernix.
Word? So all the Vernix, you know, makes them real clammy and sticky. The one thing I was impressed by is they stuck her in that underneath that bulb for a couple minutes. All that stuff just like melted into her skin. Like then the real soft skin started coming out and all of that. But we went over there, we did the height, we did the weight. They asked us about the footprint one. I can't remember what was that footprint for. It was some sort of identification. I don't know if they got stole. I don't remember what it was for, but it went into some database, basically to know that, hey, that's Carly's foot. So if something happened, whether we lost her or whatever, that was a form of identification. But yeah, and then another thing, once we had her as well, so another security deal that hospital did was you had the wrist bands they put on Jordan and I, and then they put one around her foot, mm-hmm. around Carly's foot. And that was basically tying us three together. One thing I just didn't think about, because, you know, you see on the movies, all these babies are in the little nursery and they're all side by side in their own little carts. No, not at this hospital. That was not real life there. She was with us 99% of the time. So that helped with security, I'm sure, too. That way she was by our side all the time, those types of things. But once we kind of got, did we do a full hour of the golden hour, or did we end that early?
I'm pretty sure it was a full hour between being with me and then with you and then back to me to nurse. It was, had to have been that hour.
But then, you know, we started talking about, okay, by then it was what? I remember.
She was born at 4:16. Thankfully, I only had 30 minutes of pushing and she was here. So it was about 5:15 or so. And we both had our families that were checking in on us throughout the day, trying to let us be, but also trying to encourage us and see what progress is being made. And they were, I'm sure, anxiously waiting to hear the news. And also, depending on the time of day, if they were going to be coming to the hospital that day or not.
Yeah, that was the biggest question, because do your parents live an hour? My parents live probably an hour and a half away from the hospital. So, yeah, we were trying to, you know, we wanted to let them know early. That way, if they wanted to come, they could, just so they could get back at a decent time and not have to show up at 9 o'clock at night or anything like that. So we did. We let them know, you know, it was within that golden hour. It was probably,
it was right after it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I did leave that up to you. You had taken a picture and you had sent the family, my family, the picture and the information, and then your parents as well. And then you did take, I asked you to take my phone and message a couple of my friends to let them know that she was here. And then both your parents and my parents were texting you saying, can we come? Is it okay? Do you want visitors? I know my sister was wanting to come and my niece as well. And I was fine with them coming. It was just me and you in the delivery room. I didn't want anybody else, you know, any other family, but they were more than welcome to come afterwards. And if we had her at say 10 o'clock in the morning, I probably would have had them wait a little bit longer than what they did. I knew that they were all excited to see her and they had a drive and it was already 5 o'clock at that point. So if
we felt rushed, I mean, we did feel rushed at that point, and that's not a bad thing because, you know, I think you and I both wanted them to see her that night instead of the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we were on the same game plan there of, yeah, was it a little rushed? Yeah, but are you really rushed when you're with family anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's looking back. I wish that we had a little bit more time to ourselves, but then again, our parents and family definitely did not outstay their welcome. They were there an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours max. I don't even think it was 2 hours. And then they had left. And so we had still time that evening and the whole, you know, next night. But I wish we had a little bit more time and weren't as rushed, but it's not anything that I'm upset about.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. So your sister and niece were there first,
mm-hmm.
but they were separate than your mom and dad.
Yes, they drove separate. It was funny because my niece she only has boy cousins, so now she has a girl cousin, and she was so excited to meet her and so excited to hold her. And my sister is like, "You need to wait, Grandma and Papa need to hold her first. It's their granddaughter. They need to hold her first." So they got to, my parents got to hold her. And then my sister and my niece got to hold her for a little bit. And at that point, we were still in the delivery room. We hadn't got moved yet. I hadn't got out of the bed yet. It was just their arrival time. We hadn't moved over yet. So instead of just having them wait, they could come in, and the hospital was super flexible about that. And then when the nurse had said, okay, we're going to switch you over to your room for the night, they told my family what number it was. I think it was just down the hall. They had me get up. I had to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite the ordeal. But just getting up, you know, after you can't feel your legs, and then now you're trying to stand and walk, and you know, so I know you had me on one side, you were on one side, and the nurse was on the other side, getting me to the bathroom and then showing me how to use the water thing. I can't even think of what it is called now, but it'll come to me later. And then getting me another gown to go backwards. And they really wanted me to push her down the hall. I think it was just to have something to hold on to and to also get my legs moving again. So you bundled up all the
they brought the a bags, cart for our luggage and stuff.
And then we walked slowly to our room. And then at that point, my sister and niece had left.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a school night and my niece had school the next day. And your parents had shown up.
Yep. Yeah, because we told them, I think we had them hold off because we're trying to move rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I think they showed up right as we were moving. We're like, well, there's no need to go into the delivery room. And so I think we had them just, I don't remember. I don't think they were there when we got to the room, but they came up like after that.
Mm-hmm. Very shortly after.
Yeah.
But it was a very smooth process going through, and it was fun to see everyone's reactions and having them hold her and getting the pictures. And like you said earlier, she was a very calm baby. She was asleep the whole night that they were there. She didn't really wake up, I don't think. No, she might have been awake for a little bit.
Yeah, her eyes open, but she didn't cry. She didn't really coo. She just, her eyes were open because those dang pictures with the lighting in that. If we'd have known, we found a light switch later, which made pictures way better, but we'd already taken them. And when they put that ointment around their eye, and it, Carly just kind of looked like a little demon baby there. I mean, the way it shined and her eyes were dark.
Poor girl.
And she, they were just straight open. So some of the pictures of the grandparents, it's just, it's just like, oh man, we should have did something different. But you know, you're trying to get pictures done and stuff like that. But no, we moved to a separate room, which was another pretty decent sized room. Best part about it. Sorry for all you dads who had to sleep on the hard couch and the hard chair. I had a queen size bed. So that was actually the bomb.com far as both of us getting sleep that night. It was we'll get to, we didn't really get much sleep, but it was really comfortable.
And it made me feel more not necessarily supported, but like, I can't imagine having to sleep on a bed by myself. And my husband's over here super uncomfortable and we're both trying to take care of this baby. It just felt a little bit more like home having that bed there. And so that was phenomenal. I remember after everyone had left, well, a doctor had come in, another nurse came, another uterus massage. That was fun. And then I think a pediatrician came in that evening.
Yes.
And I think just kind of prepped us for the night. They had her little bassinet with the diapers and the wipes and the little gown that she had there. And she had nursed again before she went to bed and she did really well. And again, I don't know anything about breastfeeding. I don't know how often she needs to eat. And they said about every 2 hours.
2 hours. Yep. That was always the rule, was 2 hours.
Yes. No more than three, but around every 2 hours. So I'm thinking, okay, well, it's 8 o'clock at night and I need to feed her again at 10. So we kind of stayed up until then and I tried and she didn't, not that she had fussed, she just wouldn't latch and just didn't seem interested at all. And trying to get her awake, she didn't really want to wake up to eat. So we let it be. And at this point, they had switched from the nurse that we had with labor and delivery to the night nurse. And she had just said, okay, we'll just keep trying every hour.
Yep. And then if she eats, then you can go to the 2 hours, basically, is how we took it. So, yeah, we kept setting alarms and we tried it. Well, it would have been six times because we would have got 6 hours of sleep that night. And we woke up once every hour to Carly not wanting to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember, what was it, 6 in the morning?
I think it was six
in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because Carly started crying on like the half hour of what our timers were. And so we were trying to sleep and she starts crying. And so I remember I told Jordan, I'm like, I bet she's finally made up her mind that she's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, 2 seconds, latched, eaten. And so, you know, that's one thing where, you know, as new parents, my advice would be is it's going to cry when it's hungry. It is. And if you want to try every hour or every 2 hours, that's fine. I mean, you should try probably every couple hours, but we didn't get any sleep because we were trying every single hour. And there's so much stuff going through your mind at the same time. There's other things going on there that we'll get into in a second that kept us more awake. But you have that living thing beside you, not even in the same bed, but just in the cart. You're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You're very nervous. And, you know, I guess my advice would be you can, you know, play it how you want to. But honestly, if we had to do it over again, we'd wake up probably every 2 hours just because she is going to cry when she's hungry.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was a lack of experience from the night nurse or not, but it was exhausting that first night because you're like, oh my goodness, my baby's not eating. She needs to eat. So I need to try every hour. But that every hour, it's not just, okay, I tried and then I got an hour of sleep and then woke up, because you probably got a half an hour of sleep by the time that you try, get her swaddled back up. Again, that was learning how to swaddle, getting her swaddled back up, changing her diaper, waiting for her to go to sleep, and then you settle yourself down to sleep. And then before long, your alarm goes off again. And yeah, looking back, I would definitely try every 2 hours instead of every hour. But yeah, like you said, there was the not eating, but then she would wake up coughing.
Yes.
And that was scary. Like, yet she's in a very clear bassinet. You can see her plain as day, but you're worried about her.
It wasn't coughing. It sounded like she was choking is what it sounded like. Sounded like she couldn't breathe. And that was the single most scariest thing about the whole ordeal, is just hearing her trying to, it just sound like she was trying to breathe. She had fluid in her, she had some of that amniotic fluid in her lungs. She didn't quite get it all out through birth. And I remember we asked, she did it a couple times. Finally, we asked the nurse, which once again, you know, lack of experience there. We kind of figured that after the fact, but anyway, we're like, you know, she just seems like she has stuff in her lungs. And so finally she's like, well, we could take her back and they have a machine. We can suck some of that stuff out if you want. We're like, yes, please do it.
But this had been like the third time it had happened. And I had already asked the nurse after the first time and she didn't make it seem like it was that big of a deal. And then she was like, well, we could do it if you'd want. And then I was like, well, yeah. And so then she took her, she wheeled her out and cleared it out. Yeah, and then she was
back in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. And she did say how much she got out.
Yeah, she got, it was more than what they thought. You know, they're like, oh yeah, it was probably a good thing that you did it. But knowing now, I think it was what the next day, they're like, well, you know, if she did that, you turn her on her side and you have the little, they give you a little nose sucker. And you stick it in the bottom side of her mouth and you suck that fluid out so it doesn't go back down in there. Just stuff like that is going to, you know, new parents, you're going to find that stuff out and you're going to be like, dang, you feel dumb, right? You just kind of feel dumb. Like, why didn't we think of that?
Part of it is just being not in shock, but, you know, your whole world has changed. Your baby's whole world has changed. And looking back, it makes sense why she waited so long to eat, because if you think of the perfect little warm cocoon she was in, and then all of a sudden she's had this trauma of birth, like that's exhausting. It's tiring how she had to move around and had to get through the birth canal and everything. And so that does wear you out. And so it makes sense why she had slept so long and didn't want to eat.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
But the next morning, they also didn't bathe her until the next morning. And I think that it used to be common to bathe them right away, because even your mom had asked, oh, they didn't give her a bath yet. It must be good for their body and their immunity.
Yeah, I think it helps with skin too.
And with the skin to wait a little bit before having the bath. So it was like 7 o'clock the next morning. She had a different nurse came in, or an aide, and gave her a bath. And it was fun to see her then, because it's like, okay, this is what she really looks like. You know, before she still had the cap with some blood in her hair and it's kind of matted down a little bit. And once she got the bath and you could see the color of her hair and you could see her face without, that was not that it wasn't clean. It's not like she wasn't clean, but just freshly washed, fresh out of the bath. Seeing her that way was just another like, oh, this is my daughter. You know, this is, who does she look like? And just trying to study every little bit of her face.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, was her first poop that night or the next morning?
It was that night.
Just before we went to bed, basically.
It was, I think, one of the times where we were trying to see if she would eat again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know about a baby's first poop, it is like tar. It has a special name for it. It starts with an M. I don't know what it is. but it is very thick. She blew out her diaper and it got on my robe and
we started out with a blowout. And I remember you telling me that it's very thick and I'm like, okay, it is. But I mean, you almost have to have a wire brush to get that sucker off. I mean, it is, it's very, very thick. Nothing like I've ever seen before, but that is one thing to note. I thought she had a bowel movement really early. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I didn't think she'd have one until like the next day, but anyway, so yeah, we got through that night. We're on to the next day. We had the bath and then everybody kept asking us, oh, what pediatrician are you going to go with? And we hadn't even thought of that. Never have really given it a thought, but I mean, it got to the point where like, all right, we really kind of just need, and to a point where it's like, just pick somebody. At this point, we don't really care if we have to have a pediatrician before we leave here. Just assign one. We really do not care.
I didn't know the purpose to it at first. They just kept asking me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just had a baby. I don't know what's going on. And the reason why they're asking is because about 2 days after birth, at least at that hospital where I'm went to, they have a follow-up doctor's appointment with a pediatrician. So they wanted to know which a pediatrician that you wanted to have so they could then call and make an appointment for you. And again, we picked a pediatrician that was, the clinic was at the same building that my doctor was at across the street from the hospital. And I think I had Googled, you know, pediatricians in that clinic and a name popped up that I had seen a lot of friends on Facebook had used that same pediatrician. And I was like, this name sounds familiar. I've heard of him before. Let's go with him. So we picked him as the primary, but he was so booked that we couldn't get in 2 days time to see him. So he was our primary, but then we saw this other pediatrician. And at that point, you don't really care. Like, you don't know what's going on. You're like, just pick somebody. So they made an appointment for us for 2 days after. And so they kept asking about a pediatrician, but a pediatrician that was at the hospital had came that night, but she was born. And then the next day, once or twice, just doing a few checks on her, making sure everything looked good, checking to see if we had any questions. And my doctor came in the next morning. I wish that we would have counted how many staff members
there was
that
lot.
Came in that next day.
We probably
day.
Had five or six doctors we met with that day. Off and on, your doctor, pediatrician a couple times, I think once in the morning, once kind of in the evening. We wanted a lactation specialist there just because, you know, you just don't know anything. And so our idea was if we could get a lactation specialist there while we're at the hospital, then we don't have to come back down for something like that. Like we could get some questions answered and we just wanted some insights on some stuff, honestly.
One of my friends that also delivered at that same hospital had told me that they have a lactation consultant on staff there. And she's like, you need to ask for her. Not that they wouldn't offer it, but be adamant and wanting to see her before you leave. And I'm so glad that we did, because the pediatrician and the other doctors, like, they're going to give their standpoint on things and not to say that they weren't right or anything like that. But the lactation consultant made it seem like feeding her every 2 hours was a little bit easier when she wouldn't want to eat. You know, she talked about the millions of whatever in the colostrum. And
yes, basically she was saying, you know, we were talking about feedings and she's like, you know, even if she doesn't necessarily want to eat that hour, she's like, if you can express and get even a couple drops of milk at this point in her life, that was like, one drop was like 2 to 3 trillion antibodies. And so she's like, just put it on her lip. Like she'll absorb it. Just, mm-hmm. you know, put it on her lip, put it in her mouth. Just get her whatever you can, even if it's not a lot. And you think about it, you know, there's several things on social media where you see how big a baby's tummy is. Mm-hmm. It's not big at all. No wonder they have to eat every 2 hours and they're starving. No, she did a really good job on some of that part of it. And she was a little, I felt like the early on people that we met with that they talked, I just feel like they weren't realistic. And I feel like this lady was more just down to earth. This is how it's going to go. It's fine if you don't do this. Try this and this and this. You know, it's not the end of the world. You're going to figure it out. You're doing great.
Yeah. When she had talked about trying to hand express some of the colostrum and just putting it on her lips, she's like, that counts as a feeding. And that we did end up doing that one night. She didn't want to eat. And so I did. I hand expressed, put some of that on her lips. And it was just a relief to know that, because I'm a very black and white person. So if they say they needed to eat every 2 hours, and if she doesn't eat every 2 hours, I'm like, oh my gosh, she needs to eat. So knowing that it's okay, you know, look for their cues, their hunger cues. She even gave us some tidbits on pacifiers and the usage of those, and how to, if you do choose to use a pacifier, it's best to do it during this time. If you are wanting to do introduce bottles, it's best to do it at this time. She just had a wealth of knowledge that, you know, it's her specialty. So the doctors and the pediatricians, like, they know that as well, but that is not their sole focus, like it is hers. So I would recommend asking if your hospital has a lactation consultant on staff, if breastfeeding is something that you are wanting to do, because they give you a lot of insight and a lot of help.
Yeah. And you know, obviously the second day she gets her little bath done. And so she's looking pretty cute. Of course you have to get the old, the cart picture with the kid. And so we had to get all that set up with the message board and stuff. And we got her in a cute little outfit. Jordan had this little outfit we got from a couple friends that bought it. And what does she do? Poops all up in it. Once again, another blowout. Got it all over her little swaddle thing she was in. And so, you know, you're back to picking all that up. Really, that whole day was just doctor stuff, finding out information. They did say, hey, if you want to stay another night, you can, you know, just to, you know, if you got questions, if you're nervous about going home, you know, you can stay another night if you want to, but you don't have to. And by then, getting no sleep, talking to all the doctors, getting to see the lactation consultant, all that stuff, we're like, we just kind of want to sleep in our own bed. We want to sit on our own couch. You know, we were kind of ready for a little bit of peace and quiet. And so, anyway, they got us discharged. You know, obviously I had to run down to the car, get the old car seat, bring it up. We got all packed up and stuff. And the one thing I didn't realize is they'll have a nurse walk down with you, and we pulled our car right up to the front. You know, that's another thing to talk about is buckling her in for the first time. How tight do you get it? You know, there's always a rule of thumb. Can you pinch the strap? That's all you need to know. If you can pinch the strap, too loose. If you can't pinch the strap, you're fine. But anyway, we apparently they had to see that we were going to put her in a car seat and make sure she was safe to leave. And so we did. Jordan and her rode in the back. We ended up getting Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting Freddy's to go. On the drive-thru, got home, got unpacked, kind of decompressed just a little bit, and we hit the hay. I mean, we probably didn't leave there till 5 or 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. something like that. So
we had to wait 24 hours
mm-hmm.
because there was a 24-hour test that they had to do, and she had to pass before we get discharged. But yeah, we left there about 5 or so. They did have some pain medication prescriptions for me that I did have my dad end up picking up for me because I didn't know if we were going to be back in town in time to get it from the pharmacy. So we picked those up from them, headed home, and, you know, we're unpacking our bags, making sure that our bassinet was ready for the night. And then I get to thinking, well, she wore a gown last night. We have sleepers, but do I put her in a sleep? Do I put her in a swaddle? Do I put her in? What do I put her in? Is this going to be too hot? What temperature does our house need to be at? Those little things that I didn't realize ahead of time. And I texted one of my friends and said, you know, that she had had a baby about 6 weeks before us. And I said, what does your baby sleep in at night? What temperature is your house set to? Just to make sure that she wasn't overheating, because you'd rather them be cold, too cold than too hot. So those are just some things that I wasn't aware of. The TOG level of the swaddle or sleep sack that you put them in, and trying to figure those things out so we can get her to bed and get ourselves hopefully some sleep.
Yeah. And speaking of sleep, you know, new parents, some things you should just kind of Google on the spot. I've kind of figured out we just never did do that. I guess we kind of let things hit us. We tried figuring it out on our own, but, that night we went to bed, and, I don't remember when she woke up, probably 10, 11, something like mm-hmm. that, for another feeding. And then all throughout the night, I don't know how often it was. It was at least once an hour. Mm-hmm. At least once an hour, Carly would wake up. She would cry. She would just cry and cry and cry. And so obviously Jordan's like, well, she's probably hungry. Mm-hmm. She's probably hungry. So she'd always try to feed her all the time. Well, then she wouldn't eat worth a dang. And sometimes she did eat.
Sometimes she did eat, yes.
She did eat. So it was kind of hit and miss. But, I mean, she would cry. Just finally get her calmed down, get her to sleep. Jordan put her in a bassinet. Probably 15, 20 minutes later, wake up, cry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we just battled it that night. But the next day, you know, we finally were like, you know, we probably need to look that up and see what it is. Well, if you ever look up a deal that's called second night syndrome, basically in a nutshell, what it is the baby just wants to be held, just wants to be close to you, just wants your touch because they feel the separation, basically. They're not hungry, none of that stuff. They just want to be held. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's what we had that night. I think that was her whole deal. Now, obviously, she ate two or three times, so she was getting hungry. So it could have been a mixture of both, but
looking back, or within our next child, I would still want to offer to feed, just because, you know, you don't know if that cry is hunger or not. But you're right. It's like once we were holding her, she calmed down, she settled down, and she fell asleep. So then we're like, okay, lay her down, and off she go. And then I saw something on Instagram or somewhere that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was something about, imagine how cold the bed feels when you're used to your mom's warm belly. Imagine how painful hunger feels when you're used to getting nourished 24/7. And I'm pretty sure I cried. I felt terrible. I felt like, oh my gosh, she's traumatized. She just needs one of us, and we didn't know it. And even though she's okay, it's not like she's traumatized now or anything like that. But with our next child, if they're having that same situation, I will gladly go sit in a recliner and rock and just let her be held for a little bit, take turns with that, just knowing how much her world has changed, just like our world has changed as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, like I said, it's all about learning. Parenting is all about learning. We're still learning stuff today. The only consistent thing in it is change. And if you're not a person of that, you're going to have to be. You're going to have to be. I don't think I really have anything else left. Do you, Jordan? Mm-mm. So I think that
sleep
is...
Sleep does come.
It does. It does. And we've been spoiled with sleep as well. But, you know, you'll figure it out for sure. Anyway, wanting to wrap things up, this one, once again, sorry, it is pretty long, but that was kind of our delivery day experience in the hospital, bringing her home for the first night, all sorts of goodies that were in there that it just refreshes your memory. So we probably got down on some tangents that weren't expecting to, but when you start bringing that stuff back out, it's always you're reliving it again. We will leave it there. Now, one thing I do want to tell you guys quick is we're not going to have these episodes have kind of been timelined here since we started this. These upcoming episodes aren't necessarily going to be timelined like these are. We want to talk about, you know, some different products we use, some things that we've tried, things that we haven't tried. We want to talk about a whole bunch of different stuff. It's not going to be a timeline like we had to kind of make these. We wanted to share our experience with you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned a little something as well, or caught an idea, or heck, if you're already experienced, you got four kids that is out of college, well, maybe you reminisced on it a little bit. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Is our cadence is going to kind of change just a little bit to where we're not going to be talking in timeline fashions all the time. So with that being said, definitely like, share, subscribe, follow, leave a review. Hopefully it's 5 stars. Put some comments in there, etc. Ask us questions. We'll try to keep up with that if we can. And we will see you in the next one. Thank you.